Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Peter chapter 3. In verse 17, "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be guarding yourselves, lest together with the deception of the lawless ones, being led away, you fall from your own firm footing or steadfastness of mind. But be increasing," that is to say, growing, "in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of the age," that is to say, eternity. So be it. Now, we are to be careful to guard ourselves against the deception of the lawless. The word lawless is ethemos, and it's one who breaks through the restraint of doctrine and gratifies his lust. This is iniquity. In iniquity, a person breaks through the restraint of doctrine and they gratify their lust. And then it says to be growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Savior. In is the word and. Watch out for the small words. Often they have big meanings. And is a preposition that denotes instrumentality. So grow by the means of grace and knowledge. And is the word chi. It is a copulative with a cumulative force. So some may try to grow in grace, but what I really need is to grow in grace and knowledge. Together they are more than the sum of their parts. So I grow in grace and I grow in knowledge. Knowledge is gnosis. This refers to doctrine of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, growing in knowledge is where grace becomes governmental. Sometimes the believers will try to grow in grace, and they say to themselves, well, that means that I apply grace more and more. That's applying grace. That's not necessarily growing in grace. Growing in grace must always be through knowledge. And the reason is because knowledge is the part that makes the throne of grace governmental in our lives. The throne of grace is not governmental until there is doctrine. When I have doctrine, then it can become something in control of my life, in control of my thinking. So when I come to the throne of grace, I do it by faith, of course, but I need the Word of God to do it. Now, without growing in grace and knowledge, I cannot keep myself in the love of God. Now, we've gone over this before. We're going to go over it one more time real quick so that people who may not have heard this before can understand. The way that I keep myself in the love of God in Jude 21 is I look for mercy. We're working backwards here. The place where mercy comes from is the throne of grace. Hebrews 4:16. The way that I enter into grace is through faith. Romans 5:2. The place where I get faith is the Word of God. Romans 10:17. What draws me to the Word of God is the love of God in Jeremiah 31:3 and Galatians 5:6. Now, when I have this, then I'm able to keep myself in the love of God. How does a person live in the love of God? They live in the love of God through an experiential fellowship with the one who is love. If I'm to abide in the love of God in John 15:5 and also in verse 7, then I have to have an experiential fellowship with the one who is love. This is how I do it. I do it through mercy obtained at the throne of grace, which was entered by faith that was produced by his word. That's how I do it. I need that word of God. I need the grace of God. I need the love of God. I need these things. If I don't grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ in my circumstances, then my circumstances are going to stress me out. I'm not going to be able to help that, but my circumstances will stress me out. In 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Circumstances stress me out because ultimately there's a spirit of fear. They may not be the emotion of fear, but there's a spirit of fear which leads to a person being stressed out. I can't control it. I can't handle it. It's too much. This is all fear. And it stresses us out. But God hasn't given us that. He's given us power and love and a sound mind. Now, Dr. Stevens had a great statement about this in a message that I heard from him recently. He said, when stress comes in, it reproduces the little child that's in you, which you've never lost. And it brings out the fear and insecurity of your childhood days. Everything you were is in your memory, and stress intends to reproduce the bad memories even without telling you they are bad or what they are. This is powerful stuff. This is all talking about the unconscious mind. The unconscious mind doesn't get rid of things. Now, we can break certain neural patterns, neural pathways, but we don't necessarily get rid of things. We have to replace them. Now, if I grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ in my circumstance, even if the circumstance is challenging, but I use it as an opportunity for growing in grace and knowledge, and I do that by applying His Word, then I won't have that stress element which brings out all these things from the past that are stored in my unconscious mind, and now I start to revert back to the ways that I thought when I was a child, the way that I responded when I was a child. Well, Paul addressed that in 1 Corinthians 13. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Well, here it tells you how to do it. Grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. That's how you put away childish things. I won't have a choice about this without growing in grace and knowledge. We've been designed to grow in grace and knowledge. Knowledge refers to doctrine. We've been designed to grow in grace and the mind of Christ for all our circumstances. Now, there is grace to cover absolutely, literally everything. The Word of God describes it as the manifold or many-sided grace of God. So I'm surrounded on the outside, if you will, by grace. Because it's by grace that all things are allowed to happen in 2 Corinthians 5:18. They're all from Him, and it's by grace. They're all for my sake in 2 Corinthians 4:15, and it's by grace. Doctrine defines them for me. So I have to apply the doctrine. But when I apply the doctrine, then I have to utilize the grace. How do I utilize the grace? I apply the doctrine so that the doctrine can become a throne of grace in my experience. It's all for my benefit. It's all for me. It all came from God. Well, I didn't enjoy it. You were promised certain pressures and tribulations and trials in your life. You were promised those. So that in Romans 5:5, you can get to know the love of God. So you were promised those. Why are Christians so surprised when trials come? First Peter says that they're more precious than gold. So why are we surprised when trials come? The Word of God says that if they hated Christ, they're going to hate you. Why are you surprised when people hate you? Christ told you it would happen because they hated him. Why are you surprised that there's a devil in the world? And that the devil does things that the devil does. Why are we so surprised by this? Why are you so surprised when somebody's not kind to you? That's the nature of the sin nature, especially when it's energized by demons. Why are you so surprised? And the reason why people are surprised is because they don't grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ. They're not equipped, and so it takes them by surprise. We are equipped by grace and by knowledge. I don't care what your situation is. You're equipped by grace and by knowledge. So we grow in grace and knowledge. We have to grow in them. Right now, there's talk about this in the news with the war with Iran. But what would happen if you're in a battle situation and you're an army and you don't resupply? Well, you run out. That's it. You run out. Supply lines are a big deal in wars. If you don't resupply, you run out. If you run out, you're done. And so resupplying is a big deal. Why do Christians not recognize that resupplying is a big deal? You recognize that you live in a battlefield. You recognize that Satan is your enemy. You recognize that you have an old sin nature. Why are you surprised that you need to resupply? Why don't you resupply if you don't? And there's an answer to that. In Hebrews 4:2, we have had the gospel preached to us, even as they also. But the word did not profit those hearing it, not having been mixed with faith in the ones who heard it. So because they did not mix faith, they did not enter into grace in Romans 5:2. And because they did not enter into grace, they did not find any mercy or help in time of need in Hebrews 4:16. They didn't mix faith. If I don't mix faith, the message may stimulate the intellect, but it won't transform. It won't give me the mind of Christ. It'll just stimulate. You mix faith. You mix faith. Until I mix faith, doctrine cannot be governmental. Therefore, there is no throne of grace in that person's life. If there is no throne of grace, there's no provision from God. Now, we're told very clearly that the just live by faith. Habakkuk 2:4, Romans 1:17. The just live by faith. Yet, when it comes time to mix faith, those who say, I'm one of the just, don't mix faith. Well, Hebrews 11:6 says that's not pleasing to God. So why am I overwhelmed by my circumstances? Why do my emotions go crazy when something happens? Why can't I handle things? Because you haven't mixed faith. But I believe, but you haven't mixed faith. You haven't taken specifics from doctrine and applied them to specific circumstances. You haven't gone to the promises of God and relied on those to be your provision. You try to figure it out in your natural thinking, looking for natural provisions to deal with supernatural issues. And it doesn't work. And the result is that person becomes overwhelmed. They'll get discouraged. They'll get depressed. because they haven't mixed faith. You have to mix faith. In Romans 1:17, the righteousness of God is revealed. The word revealed, actually in the original language, means make manifest. The righteousness of God is manifested from faith to faith. You have a measure of faith, use it. Take that measure of faith to mix faith with the Word of God so it produces faith, more faith in you. Then apply what you have received from the Word of God by faith to your practical life in the practical details and situations that you encounter. Then you are living as the just who live by faith. That's your relationship with God. The relationship that you possess with God is manifested in a faith process. So you mix faith to receive more faith, to apply the faith that you received to the details you're dealing with. You always turn to the Word of God, and the result of that is there's a throne of grace that keeps growing in your life. And that throne of grace is built upon the doctrine that you've stored. The more doctrine you stored, the greater the throne of grace becomes in your life. Once you have the throne of grace functional in your life, it starts to take care of you. This is very practical. It starts with the mind, but it extends into everything, including practical details, including needs provided for. It takes care of everything. Now, we have to grow in grace and knowledge to grow in our relationship to Christ. Now, either my relationship to Christ is growing or it's withering. If I'm not growing in grace and knowledge, then my relationship to Christ is withering. It's not that it stays the same, it diminishes. And when it diminishes, I have fewer and fewer provisions from Christ, less and less comfort, less and less hope, less and less love, less and less patience, less and less endurance. All the stuff that God provides for me, I have it less and less of it because my relationship to Him has been decreasing. When I do grow in grace and knowledge by mixing faith, that means I'm increasing in knowledge that I'm constantly mixing faith with so that His government is in my life. Then those things all increase. I get more joy. I get more provisions. I get more hope. I get more comfort. Whatever it is that I need, I get more of it. Because my relationship is increasing. In 2 Corinthians 10:3, we walk in the flesh. We do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity. How do I bring every thought into captivity? Mixing faith. So I mix faith in every thought with His Word to the obedience of Christ. When I don't cast down something that replaces categories of doctrine, I'm left defenseless, and the enemy will take advantage. When you live without an intake of doctrine, you're not going to have a choice but to live in your emotions. And if you live in your emotions enough, they're going to lead you to false doctrine. If a person hears messages, and they don't grow in grace, and they don't grow in knowledge by the hearing of the messages, then number one, they're going to enter into depression, then they're going to enter into oppression, and then they're going to withdraw. Now, depression is Satan's attack against the emotions. Oppression is Satan's attack against the mind. And that person is going to try to defend, protect their emotions and their mind, and they start to withdraw from everything because they're under attack. Why? They're not growing in grace, and they're not growing in knowledge. And they're not growing because they're not mixing faith with what they heard. And so that mixing faith is a big deal. You can't live without growing in grace and knowledge, and you can't grow in grace and knowledge without mixing faith. If I'm to be a Christian and I don't mix faith so that I grow in grace and knowledge, I'm going to be just like the world. I'm not going to have any more provisions than the world. I may be saved, but I'm not going to have any more provisions. I'm not going to have any more comfort. I'm not going to have any more assurance. I'm not going to have anything. I'll have exactly what the world provides. Because I've stepped away from the throne of God. In Romans 12:3, I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. Now, sometimes we don't mix faith because we don't trust. We don't trust because we haven't received love from God. We haven't drawn near to Him. I have to draw near to Him. And the reason is so that He can love me. Because until I receive His love, I won't trust Him. If I don't trust Him, then it's pride. Humility is when I agree with God. I can only agree with Him if I trust Him. Pride is when I elevate my own thoughts above the Word of God. That's what happens when you don't trust Him. And so pride will eliminate a sound mind. It's not pride like somebody's conceited. It's pride that they're not trusting His word. When iniquity was found in Lucifer's heart, the root of that iniquity was pride. He no longer trusted the word or the character of God. And that opened the door for him to rebel against God. Well, the same thing happens to us. Lucifer is the ultimate deceived individual. He was the covering cherub. And now he's the accuser. That's what Satan means, is accuser. He was created in heaven. He was right at the throne of God. That was his place. His place for eternity after the millennial reign will be in the lake of fire. And during the millennial reign, it'll be in hell. That's a big fall. And it came from the deception of pride. Pride always deceives because it doesn't trust the word of God. So that person enters into deception. Now, what we need is we need to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ, and that comes through humility. The more that I grow in grace and knowledge of Christ, the more that I have a provision from the throne of grace for every situation, regardless of what it is that comes into my life. I'm surrounded by provisions of grace. I'm graced out. That's what we want to be. We want to be people who are graced out. That means that I've kept growing in grace and knowledge. Remember, without knowledge, there is no throne of grace. I keep growing in grace. I keep growing in knowledge. I keep adding provisions of grace. I keep receiving grace for anything that comes into my life, and I get graced out. And I live a life that is graced out. That means I have authority and I have power in my thinking. And it allows me to have the mind of Christ and receive anything that I desire from God in John 15:7. A graced out believer is an unstoppable believer. A graced out believer cannot be depressed. A graced out believer cannot be oppressed. A graced out believer is a believer. Nothing gets this person down. He always has the mind of Christ for literally everything. He's graced out. He is at his throne, constantly receiving from his throne, never has to worry about anything because he's graced out. He is at the throne of grace, receiving everything in full abundance that the throne of grace has to give to this person. He's graced out. There's nothing more to give him because he's got everything. He's absolutely graced out. That's where we want to be. That's God's goal for us. God wants to grace us out. God wants to provide that measure of grace, that provision of grace, the hope of grace, anything that it is that I need. He wants to give it to me by grace because I'm growing in grace and knowledge as a result of mixing faith. In 1 Corinthians 2:5, in verse 4 it says, I preach plainly so that your faith may not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. There is a rest for faith. Or put more plainly, there is a faith rest. Our faith rest comes when we're graced out. When problems arrive, I grow in grace and I grow in knowledge because I have mixed faith and I relax at the throne of grace. This person is not anxious. This person is not stressed. This person is not fearful. This person is not overwhelmed. This person is not insecure. This person's graced out. This person is living exactly the way God had designed him to live, at the throne of grace, resting there. It's graced out. There is no trepidation in grace. There is no, I don't know what I'm going to do in grace. There is no, this is too much for me in grace. There is no, I'm so confused in grace. There's rest. Because I've mixed faith with the promises of God. And even if I don't have the answers, I know the answers come because of the promises of God. And so I rest. I know the power of God. I know His ability on my behalf. Because I trust His word, and so I rest. I'm not nervous, I'm not freaked out, I'm not anything. I simply rest, because I am absolutely graced out. But it only comes when I grow in grace and knowledge by mixing faith with what? With what I hear. Faith comes by hearing. And so I need to hear. It doesn't happen for people who don't consistently get built up in the Word of God. And then there are people who receive the Word of God, but they don't mix faith. And because they don't grow in grace and they don't grow in knowledge, since they haven't mixed faith, they get depression, oppression, and eventually withdraw. Satan took advantage of them. But it's not hopeless. I can simply make the right adjustments, start mixing faith. Mixing faith is a choice. And some people must say, oh, I don't know if I can choose that. It's not really a choice. I mean, it's a condition. It's a... No, your so oriented to your emotions, you don't even know how to use your volition. Just rest in the promises of God. Start there. And keep receiving them more and more until you're graced out. Any problem that comes, I fix it by growing in grace and in knowledge. If I grow in grace and knowledge, I grow in confident expectation toward the throne of God. And that confident expectation is where the rest comes from. If I'm not growing in grace and knowledge, I don't have confident expectation. Where would it come from? All I'll see is my own ability. And that's all I'll get to experience. It's not hard. It takes humility. But humility is a choice also. I believe the word of God. Therein is humility. And because I believe Him, I trust Him. Because I trust Him, I apply it. Therein is humility. In Hebrews 12:2, we look unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. When my frame of reference is fixed on my Savior, because I have His mind through doctrine, I grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Through mixing faith, and then I can move mountains. Mountains are nothing. Mountains are opportunities to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ is what removes the mountain. So if I encounter a mountain that I can't remove, the problem is not the mountain. The problem is in me. I haven't mixed faith. So that I can grow in grace, so I can grow in knowledge, so that the throne of God can take care of me. The mountain is just a provision to get me to grow, to get me to be graced out. Amen? If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen."